Bye.
موقف. Randolph.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We are starting with Pasuk 244. Anybody have any questions before we begin?
No.
So we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. We are in Parsha Lech Lecha. We're in section 25. And we're starting with Pasuk 244. L'shem Yehud Kutshabri Chavish Kintepit Hilur Himud Hilud Hilur Himud L'yakta L'shem Yudhe Bavadhe V'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael L'imud Torah Mitzvah V'asok Torah Mitzvah L'ayhino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maseh Yadeinu Kanane Aleinu Maseh Yadeinu Kananehu Ad hawo azlei iara, behoi rabi esa, wechad yudai, behadeya, wahawa amar hahu yudai, le David yelecha, Hashem nafshi esa. Le David v'ki amai, laketiv mizmor le David. Oh, le David mizmor. The translation, as they were walking, they met Rabbi Yessa and a Jew who was with him. The Jew quoted the verse of David, "To you, Hashem, do I lift up my soul." And he asked, "Why is it written of David rather than a psalm of David? Or to David a psalm?" And I guess we had already read this yesterday. But we did. Actually, we should be on verse 246. I apologize. So we're starting with verse 246. Kegavna dale David barki nafshi et Hashem begin dargeya ka amar umay amar Arki nafshi et Hashem et le'it kashra v'ki shura le'ela v'kol k'ravai man k'ravai ilein she'ar he'wan v'ra de'ibrun k'ravaim k'da'ah u'me'ay Amu alav davar acher barki nafshi beginea ka amar et Hashem dashalimu dekola et Hashem kalala dekola. The translation. Similarly, of David, Bless Hashem, my soul, that the word is nefesh, was also said for the sake of his own grade. And what did he say? Bless Hashem, my soul, my nefesh. In this case, the particle et before Hashem means to be attached with bonds to the upper grade of Bina. And what is meant by and all that is within me? It refers to the other beasts of the fields, namely the Sephirot of the Nukva, that are called all that is within me. Literally, the entrails is the word used. As it is written, and my bowels yearned for him. Another explanation of the words, bless my soul, is that he said it for the sake of his own grade. Hashem is the full perfection of everything, the inclusion of everything. This means that Et is the secret of Malchut. Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is the secret of Zeranpin. So Et Hashem alludes to the complete unison of Zeranpin with his Nukva. My commentary, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, this pasuk is clear as written. Questions, comments, thoughts. No questions today?
Well, I'm just not quite sure. I'm trying to take it all in, exactly what it all means. When we were talking about the et, you know, when we were constructing sentences or reading sentences in Hebrew class, when we got to the et, if I remember right, it really didn't have much of meaning. It didn't translate into anything. It was there because that was the correct way to write the sentence. But tell me again what you were saying that it connected to. Was it Bina?
In the first part of the pasuk, it says et is the bina. At the end of the pasuk, it says et is the malchut. And Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is Zeranpin. So when you say et Hashem, that you are describing the unity of malchut and Zeranpin.
Okay, well, that's a little bit clearer.
To go into more detail, what you were saying, in Hebrew grammar, when you write nouns, those nouns can be in front of the verb or behind the verb. In English, you can only put the verb in front of the noun goes... in front of the verb, or it can be, if it's behind the verb, it becomes a direct object. This
right.
is a grammatical term. But in Hebrew, the direct object could be in front of the subject of the sentence. The direct object can be anywhere in the sentence. So in order to identify the direct object as opposed to the subject of the sentence, they attach the word et to all of the nouns that are direct objects. But when you put et, you're putting the letters aleph to taf. Aleph taf spells et. Aleph is the first letter of the alphabet. Taf is the last letter of the alphabet. So you're including all of the vessels in the universe because if the letters are created, and when you put them into words, the words get created into what they are. And so we understand that the word et has a very specific meaning to the Kabbalah and within the Bible. When you put an et on one level, you're describing that this noun is a direct object. On another level, you are attaching Malchut, the energy of Malchut, the manifestation associated with Malchut, to that noun. But there are times when we are talking about the world that is coming, that et doesn't mean Malchut, it means Bina. So it can become very confusing. What you have to remember is Aleph Tetav is all of the energy of the vessel. And so once you identify where you are you in the Sephiroth of the upper worlds, of the mind, of the brain, or are you in the emotional levels? And that will tell you what the et means in this particular sentence. This is what the verse is really describing to us.
So then you're saying that Malchut is the emotional level, and Zerenthin is the brain level.
No.
No, okay.
Bina is the brain level.
Okay.
Zerenthin is the emotional level. And
okay.
Malchut is the manifestation of the emotions.
Okay.
If you have an emotion, you love something, someone. If you don't verbalize that, the emotion is just within you. It's not meaningful to anything else. But if you tell someone you love them, you're manifesting your emotions. That's Malchut. If you get angry at someone, but you don't say anything, or you don't do anything, you don't hit the wall, you don't stomp up and down, can people know you're angry? Well, they can from your facial expressions and from your body movements. But that can be misinterpreted. Why are you angry at me? I'm not angry at you. Why do you think I'm angry at you? Because you look angry. It can be misinterpreted. Our body consciousness is made up of emotions. But in the Western world, we're taught, don't worry about your emotions. Use logic. You won't go astray with logic. But that's not true in the Kabbalah and our understanding of what the Kabbalah means. We have a brain, we have our head, and that is the upper worlds. That is Bina and Chachma and the Keter. But as soon as we bring that energy down into our body, it becomes emotional energy. And we're in this world to learn to control our emotional energy. And you cannot control emotional energy with logic. You feel what you feel. Oh, but I shouldn't feel that way. He's really a nice person, even though he hurt me so badly. We feel what we feel. And then we try and use emotions to control those feelings. It doesn't work. How do you control emotions is to understand why you react the way you do and stop those reactions. That's how you control your emotions. Yes, I feel what I feel. And I don't need to justify what I feel. But if I demonstrate, if I manifest my emotions without controlling them, I'm going to create chaos. That's logical, but it doesn't control what I feel. Only a decision to stop your body reactions prevents chaos. And if you don't make the effort to understand why are you reacting this way, you will never change how you react. And that leads to greater and greater chaos. So it's clear as mud now?
Clear as mud.
How about you, Brian? Is it clear?
I'm listening.
That didn't answer the question.
Yes, I see where you're going with it, but I totally don't understand.
That is well said. It makes perfect sense. When you read the basic class 5 and 6, you'll understand what I just described a little better. And when you start to utilize those tools, you'll begin to really, truly understand the Kabbalah. Verse 247. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar le Rabbi Yesa Tamina la Deha'im Shekinta Ta'atet Ve'itcha Barat Amar lo Hakehu Vadai Udlat parse hudiazelna bahadeya wa amali tamamile baalyata wa ana agirna leyal yomada wila yadana Sehu Botsina Dena Erki Samina Ashta. The translation. Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Yesa, I see that you have come in company with the Shekhinah. He said this because he saw that the Shekhinah rested upon the Jew. He said to him, most certainly, I walked with him for 3 parasangs, and he has told me many goodly matters. And I have hired him to serve me for this day, and did not realize that he is such a shining light as I see now. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, this pasuk is clear as written. Can one employ the Shekhinah? Yes, by supporting full-time Torah study of a righteous man. My estimate is currently a day's hire is approximately $150. Of course, publicizing your hire eliminates the benefit. Some things require concealment, not revelation. Questions? Comments, thoughts.
Well, I think it's pretty clear what you said.
It's not what I said, it's what the verse says. Is that clear?
Right. Yeah, it's clear.
What would be the purpose of the Zohar putting this information in the middle of this discussion? Do we really need to know that Rabbi Elazar hired this man? Is that what is important?
No, not really. It's important to know that I guess about maybe doing a mitzvah by giving a donation to a Torah student.
Serving a Torah student is the important thing. The donation is one way to serve. Sharing time is another way to serve. But the important thing to realize is that the doing the mitzvah is what's important. Any mitzvah. It isn't just that you're hiring this person, but is it better to donate? Is it better to give a dollar to a homeless person to get some food, or is it better to cook him a dinner?
It would be better to cook him a dinner.
And if he was sitting down at your table, would you be embarrassed or be worried about the way he smelled so that you could provide him with a shower?
To answer your question, no, I would not be worried. You never can judge a book by its cover. I've
Correct.
Learned that. And so you need to look to yourself to see, why did this man come your way, or this person, this lady, or child, or whoever? Why were they put in your path? What can you learn from this? What can you learn
That's
from
correct.
Them? What can they learn from you? And you know...
And that... Is it important
never,
what they learn from you?
You never know.
Can you control what they learn from you?
No.
But can you provide them the opportunity to learn by sharing some wisdom?
Yes.
That's all built into this simple verse. And all I'm doing with my commentary is I'm not asking you to donate. I'm asking you to contemplate what you can learn from this Zohar verse. Why was it put in the middle of this story? To teach us about the mitzvah of serving knowledgeable people, the mitzvah of learning from everybody, even a day laborer. We are out of time, so we'll do this again at this time tomorrow. 7 o'clock tonight is questions and answers. That's West Coast time. And tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., we will again read the Torah. So I wish you all shalom, shalom gadol. a good evening.
Shalom Gadol.
A peaceful, serene.
Shalom.
Peaceful, serene evening.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.